This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And as you remember from last time we were together, this is Philip from chapter number 6. They came to the apostles and said, some of the widows are not being seen to, so they chose out men to look after that. Stephen was among those, and we saw Stephen martyred. Philip was among those. This is not the apostle Philip. In Acts chapter number 1, we're introduced to the apostle Philip. He walked with Christ. Two different Philips, like Philip Smith and Philip Jones. I don't know if this one is Jones or Smith, but you get the idea. All right. Philip has fled from Jerusalem due to Saul and his persecution. He came to Samaria. Many are saved and baptized. And as we read today, we'll see him being led of God to go south. Let's begin reading Acts chapter number 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come up and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful as we read of the life and the ministry of Philip here this morning. It's very, very, very familiar to the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha. Lord, we just thank you for this in the time of grace, this witness for Christ and this baptism of one who would travel back home to what they at their time would consider the ends of the earth. Lord, we see your gospel being spread here as we study the Acts of the Apostles, and we're thankful for it. Help us to see it in our time now, to take these verses to heart and to use them in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a unique passage of Scripture, not only because we're seeing the gospel spread, we're seeing Philip being used of God. I don't know exactly how to explain what's happening to him here. It says the Spirit is telling him to. I think a lot of times we maybe have something similar like that in our own lives. Have you ever said to someone, I just felt like God wanted me to, and then fill in the blank? You ever made that kind of a statement before? We might call that an inclination. We might call that being led of the Spirit. Sometimes we might get our inclinations and our being led of the Spirit crossed up. I don't know. But I don't know if maybe an angel was speaking directly to Philip here. That seems to probably be the case here. We know that an angel came directly to the Apostle Peter when he was in jail. But nevertheless, Philip is being led and he is doing what he is being led to do, and we see greatness coming from this. Now, this eunuch that we'll encounter here, it says he's of Ethiopia. That would not be modern Ethiopia. It'd be probably closer to modern Sudan. How many of you have heard of Sudan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is probably where they were. They would have considered this, if not nearly the end of the earth. And they were commanded to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, or to the ends of the earth. And this Ethiopian is saved, and then he takes it there. He takes it back home with him. What a wonderful story we get here. What's unique to me in this portion of the text is all of the questions that we see asked and answered. And I think this is very symbolic to where most find themselves prior to receiving saving faith. So many have so many questions. And I want you to notice these questions with me here today and to come to understand the role of Philip that he plays, and also of the Christian in the same situation nowadays that we play, as well as the impact that this has on that one who is asking all of these questions. Beginning first with verse 26, 27, and 28, I want to present the question, why now and why there? Now, that question is not in the text, but it comes to mind for me when I'm considering this text. Philip was in Jerusalem. He was working with the church in Jerusalem. Because of the persecution, he goes north to Samaria. That's a great thing. We talked about that last week. He's in a place that no one else might have gone. They weren't. Jesus, the Bible said Jesus needed to go through Samaria, and that was important that he do that, but they weren't going to go through Samaria. These were half-breed Jews. These were lesser people in their intent, their minds. For Philip to go there, this is a great thing. So he's there doing a work that at that time only he could have done. Several there in Samaria have just converted to Christianity. Surely, Philip is needed there to disciple them. Can you imagine you're in Samaria? This man comes and he tells you about Jesus. You're saved. You're baptized. The apostles come from Jerusalem. They pray and they lay hands on you. You receive the Holy Spirit. Your life is changed. We talked last week how that was unique to their time then, but still, this is a big deal. And then all of a sudden, this guy just runs off and leaves. To me, I'm saying, Lord, why send him away now, and why send him there? He seems like he's right where he needs to be and right when he needs to be there. So I ask, why then and why now? God is leading him south, and he goes. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, and unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Philip doesn't question, but we can. Why now and why there? Derek Thomas says, the purposes of God often seem strange to us, particularly when we are in possession of only a fragment of the total picture. You ever found yourself there? You don't know what God is doing or why, but you know this much, and you can't see that much, but you just follow him blindly, and in the end you look back and you say, oh, okay, now I see the whole deal, or at least as much of it as you can. We've had those moments in our lives. Even when it seems as if you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, right where you need to be doing it, God leads you to do something else. Like Philip, never question. Go and see. What would he see? Verse 27, there was a man there. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. For multiple reasons, this man would not have been allowed to worship in Jerusalem, except in a place allotted for people like him to be able to worship. There was ceremonial reasons he could not. He evidently had great resources because he gets a hold of a rare scroll of Isaiah that would have been expensive. It would have been hard to have come by. He evidently didn't get all that he needed when he went there to worship, but we know that's the case with Judaism. It'll get you just right there. But it kind of misses Jesus and grace. And for by grace are you saved through faith. Justification by faith. By grace through faith. And so he's sitting in his chariot on the road home, and he is reading this scroll because he is seeking for something that he could not find as he went to worship Israel's God. This is why then, and this is why now. God knew who, what, when, and where. You see, God has blessed you and I with playing a role in others being saved. So it's so important that we're obedient to God. Ogilvy says, the Lord of all creation has ordained that he would do his work through us. Isn't that something to think about? Our seeking the Spirit's guidance and obeying what He wants us to do and say is the way He works to bless the world. You want God to bless the world? You go be the blessing in the world. We are so guilty of just sitting at home and say, well, let's just pray. And we do need to pray. Prayer is powerful. We ought not do what we ought to do without prayer. And we come to church and we'll say, we're concerned, but have you gone out and been what the world needs you to be? You just never know the answer you may get when you obey God and you inquire about another person's soul. That's awkward, though, isn't it? That's their business. That's not my business. I don't want to get in their mess. Let them handle it. I'll give them a Bible and I'll pray for them. But to inquire about their soul? Did I tell you about my friend who, he's very much into inquiring about people's souls. He does prison work. And not the guy y'all know. This is a different guy. You all know Ken Avery. And I'm always telling you stories about another guy who does prison work. And I'm afraid you're going to think it's Ken Avery. This is a totally different guy. I don't know why that matters to me, but it matters to me that you know this is somebody else. So some of y'all actually might know who I'm talking about here. This guy's, he's fun. He's a lot of fun. His name's Eddie. And Eddie does prison work, and he's driving all the time. He'll drive to Delaware, and he'll preach in the prisons, and he'll drive to the south part of Florida and preach in the prisons. He's all over the road, always in and out of gas stations, getting gas and getting him some hot dogs to eat or whatever. And he keeps gospel tracts in his pocket. It's late at night one night, and he walks in this gas station. It's just barely still open. And he walks up to the counter, and he likes to give out gospel tracts. So he reaches inside his coat right here. He's going to give out a gospel tract. And he asked the guy by the counter, he said, sir, are you prepared to die? You know, it was like, boom, alarms, guns come out, you know. But it can get awkward, we think, when we inquire about someone's soul. But you never know the answer you may get when you obey God and do so. D.L. Moody. I hope you're familiar with D.L. Moody. The Moody Church, the Moody Bible Institute in downtown Chicago. He once asked a man about his soul, and the man replied, it's none of your business. Oh, yes, it is my business, Moody said to him. And the man immediately exclaimed, then you must be D.L. Moody. What a reputation. We should have the same reputation. It is our business. We've been commissioned by the very King of the universe to inquire about other people's souls. Why there? Why now? Because someone is there asking. Notice what he's asking. Look at verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Do you think probably Philip felt a little awkward in this situation? God just tells him to go take the road south. It's a desert place. Well, where am I going? Just go. Why am I going? Just go. What do you want me to do? Just go. So he goes, and there's this chariot. I think it's moving, maybe. I can't tell if it's moving or if it's sitting. It seems different at different times here. And along the way, and Philip's evidently a runner. he catches a chariot. Along the way, God says, go get up beside that chariot there. And in my mind, I've got Philip running. He's looking over inside that chariot, you know, and here they go down. I don't know if that's what's happening, but that's what's happening in my mind. And Philip looks over at him and says, do you understand what you're reading there? Stop the chariot. How can I except somebody explain it to me? Well, right there, it was clear to Philip, wasn't it? This is why you had me go here. This is what it was for, and this is what I am to do. See, what we're afraid of is that run to the desert. We're afraid of that going up on the chariot. They're going to think I'm weird. But what we're not aware of is that God is already at work in the lives of those people that He is sending us to. And the moment we come and we'll say, can I inquire about your soul? They'll say, yes, I was just thinking about that. Can you show me? How can I understand, he says. He invites him to sit with him. Paul writes of this, how can I understand unless someone tells me, in Romans chapter 10. You're familiar with verse 9. You're familiar with verse 13. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've heard that verse before. Verse 14, though, says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer of the gospel? And how shall they preach except they be sent? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christians have the grand opportunity of helping others to understand. Hughes reminds us of this. This text presents two perspectives on the Ethiopian eunuchs coming to Christ. From above, we see God's sovereign hand working in a man's heart in such a way that after making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, he remains spiritually hungry. While he's reading a scroll of Isaiah, he is borne across the desert in a chariot. He encounters the Spirit-sent ambassador of Christ, Philip, who leads him to the Savior. But then we have the perspective from the ground level. We see the role of human obedience. God chooses to use human obedience to carry out his plan. Exactly whom he uses or how he does so is incidental. The point being that God's sovereign work plus man's obedience brings the touch of God to many needy human lives. There are all kinds of chance meetings, happenstance meetings, what we would call them. They're not, but we'd call them that. There are all kinds of chance meetings ready to take place in a life that is sensitive and obedience to God's leading. We must be ready to help others understand. Maybe you're here today and you're not even there. Maybe you're seeking today. Maybe you're here today and like the Ethiopian, you're asking, how can I understand? I don't even know that I should be the one telling other people how to come to Christ, because I don't know if I've come to Christ myself. Maybe that's where you find yourself here today. How can I understand? He asked, who is this man? Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And verse 35 is one of the best verses in all of the Bible. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You can preach Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. He just took right where the man was and he gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation right from there. What he was reading, we're given a little bit of it in verse 32. The place of the scripture he read was this. This is Isaiah 53. If you're not familiar with Isaiah 53, it's very, very brief. 12 verses maybe. It speaks of our suffering Savior. His substitutionary atonement. His vicarious sacrifice. You should know, you should read Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. This is speaking of Jesus. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who is this man? If you're here today and you're seeking yourself, if you're reading the scriptures and you're saying, I'm trying, but how can I understand it except someone explain it to me? Well, let me help you this morning. This is Jesus Christ. He freely gave himself as a substitute, as a sacrifice for you. Like a sheep led to the slaughter, he allowed himself to be taken. He was beaten. He was despised. He was crucified for you. But he never opened his mouth. He freely gave his life. You're a sinner. We are all sinners. Isaiah 53 also says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because of your sin, you cannot have a relationship with God. It's impossible in your sinful state. But Jesus died so that you could be redeemed. This is what is preached to this Ethiopian. And he replies, well, what keeps me then from baptism? Now, how did a man from Ethiopia, the ends of the earth, know about baptism? I don't know. Maybe he was taught by Philip here. I'm not sure. But he asked, notice verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And you know the answer at the Baptist church, right? It's next Sunday night. You can't be baptized tonight. You got to get baptized next Sunday night. You got to tell your granny and your aunts, and they got to be there. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What keeps me from baptism? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ Amen. Is the Son of God? If Jesus is your Lord, you should be baptized. Are you in him before God? When we stand before God, it is not our works which we have done, not of works which we have done. For by grace are you saved through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Justified simply means being made just as if we had never sinned. Now that seems impossible, but Jesus made it possible as he died on the cross. Not of one of you here this morning does not believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But what many fail to embrace in their life is that that was all that needed to happen for you to have your sins forgiven and go to heaven. But it's so easy. Because it's so easy, we try to overcomplicate it and we miss the most important step in our lives. And that's simply to just believe on Jesus with all of our hearts. Have you accepted His righteousness in place of your own? You don't know what I've done. Oh, and you don't know what I've done. You wouldn't let me be up here preaching if you knew what I've done. But God forgives me. And God will forgive you. The problem with it is we have a hard time accepting His righteousness over ours because we don't know that we deserve it. Can I clear that up for you here this morning? You don't deserve it. But you get it even though you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it either. And I live a semi-legalistic life. I mean, look at me. In my suit and tie. I didn't come in my shorts and my what I wanted to wear today, I didn't wear. All right? I've tried to go to a robe church so I could just wear whatever I wanted, put robe on while I'm preaching up here. That didn't go over very well. But I live that life because in my mind, my human carnal mind, it works as if I feel like I'm pleasing God somehow. But I can't please God. The Bible teaches that at my best, I stink to God. But He loves me anyway, and not because of me, because of Jesus. Are you willing to take that today? See, what happens when we can't allow Jesus' righteousness in place of our own, then what we're saying is our own righteousness has become our idol. My own righteousness is my own little God here. And if I can outweigh my bad with my good, then I feel like I'll be all right before God. Or I hope, see, we've replaced that with faith. I hope that I'll be all right in the end. You don't have to hope anything. For by faith are you saved through grace. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Today is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday to my wife. She's 28, I think. Don't laugh. Y'all hurt her feelings. Can you imagine me today saying, dear, because you married me, because you gave me these beautiful boys, because you mopped the floor last night, happy birthday, here's your gift. Well, that'd make me what? What would that make me out to be? A jerk. That's right. Who said jerk? That's what I was thinking too. Yes. Are you going to make God out to be a jerk? He gave His only begotten Son for you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't degrade that. Don't worship idols by saying, my righteousness. No, it's His in place of you. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Acts chapter 16, we haven't gotten there yet. Verse 31, they are told there, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Every church has its own ritual or ceremonial rite. How do you get saved? Well, you do this, this, and this, and that's fine. There does need to be a process. That's okay. But in the end, in your heart, it's between you and the Lord. Here we're told, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was a kid, I used to battle within myself. I was around a lot of church, and I always wondered, did I do it right? How many of you have had those thoughts with salvation? Did I do it right? Am I the only? Okay, a few of you are kind of like me on that. I heard a man preach one time, and he was telling about how he got saved, and he was so excited. And he ended that sermon by saying, and if I die and go to hell, I'll go trusting in the blood of Jesus. And it hit me at about 13 years old. I thought, well, he ain't going to go to hell. And then I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to go to hell either. You don't go to hell trusting in the blood of Jesus. What hinders you from being baptized? Do you believe in Jesus with all of your heart? To say with all of your heart means he is Lord of your life. If he says go to Gaza, you'll go to Gaza. If he says sit right here, you'll sit right here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For this man, it was believing what he was reading there in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's no different for you. You've heard the scriptures. It's time for you to begin living them. In this story of Philip and the Ethiopian, we see many wonderful questions and their answers. And these answers shape our theology and our doctrine. They challenge us to be saved and to be baptized. They provoke us who have been saved and baptized to share the gospel. And they help us to follow the leading of God. If you're here today and you're unsaved, would you leave here today saved? Could we plan a baptism tonight? I'd love to do that. Amen. If you're here today and you are saved, would you leave here with a new vigor to share the gospel? In October of 1857, J. Hudson Taylor. How many of you have heard of J. Hudson Taylor? Heard of Hudson Taylor? Yeah. He began to minister in Ningpo, China, and he led a man named Mr. Nye to Christ. The man was overjoyed, and he wanted to share his faith with others. He asked, how long have you had the good tidings in England? Hudson Taylor acknowledged that England had known the gospel for many centuries. Mr. Nye said, my father died seeking the truth. Why didn't you come to us sooner? Taylor had no answer to that penetrating question. So I ask you today, how long have you known the gospel? And how far have you shared it personally?